This is On Location. I'm Joe Mamlin. Today's show comes to you on location from Missouri and Illinois. But first, On Location is produced by the INSEA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Tim Leitner and me. You can find the podcast and subscribe on your favorite podcast app, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many more. On today's show, Pat O'Donnell welcomes Ellen Rutledge. Ellen is the Director of Professional Development at Young Williams and also serves on the INSEA Board of Directors. As you may recall from our last episode, Ellen is also one of the co-chairs of this year's INSEA Leadership Symposium. Today, Ellen and Pat discuss the meeting-heavy nature of our work and the world we live in. We've all seen that joke about how that last meeting could have just as well been an email. We all get frustrated with the content and the need for meetings, but it seems that over the past few years, with the advent of much more remote work, meetings and their importance have only increased. Ellen has made it her mission to improve the meetings she leads, and today she shares some tips and advice on how we can make the most of this necessary part of our lives. It's going to be a great show, so stick around, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to INSEA On Location. Today's podcast is the next in our professional development series, which is focused on providing tips to run effective meetings. I'm Pat O'Donnell of Young Williams, and I'll be your host for today's conversation. Our guest today is Ellen Rutledge, Director of Professional Development at Young Williams. Additionally, Ellen serves on the Board of Directors for INSEA. Ellen, would you take a moment to introduce yourself to our listeners?
I sure will, Pat. It's great to be here with all of the INSEA listeners. My name is Ellen Rutledge. As Pat said, I'm the Director of Professional Development at Young Williams. So what that means is I work with our attorneys, our project managers, and our employees on things that they can do to develop their professional skills and their knowledge. It's a really great position. It's a lot of fun. I am an attorney by background. I love creative thinking, and this job really allows me to do something different for people, you know, and to help them grow. And that's really what I love about my job. I think I've been in child support now over 20 years, which seems pretty amazing. I remember thinking how old that sounded when people said they'd been around 20 years, but now that's me. I am coming to you live from Jefferson City, Missouri, in the center of the country. And I think that's probably, I've been an INSEA volunteer off and on, for probably 15 of those 20 years now. I started as a Web Talks member and have worked on various committees over the years. And last year successfully ran for the INSEA board. And that's also one of my favorite things about my job, is getting to work with child support professionals across the country.
Well, thanks, Ellen. For many of us, our days consist of participating in one meeting after another. At the end of some meetings, we know we've achieved our objectives. In others, we might have veered off topic and ended the discussion before we made real forward progress. During this conversation, we hope to offer tips to make every meeting an effective use of everyone's time. So, Ellen, how did this topic become an interest of yours?
Pat, like probably many in the audience, I've always attended a lot of meetings, whether they were at work or in my community through volunteer work. It seems like on any given week, I attend, 15 to 20 hours of meetings. When I first started in the professional world, I attended, more than I ran. But then a couple of years ago, I switched jobs and I began running a lot of meetings. Also, as I mentioned earlier, I had volunteered with INSEA on committees. I was asked to chair a couple of those committees. I'm also very involved with WICSEC and you know, was in a leadership position at that point in time as well. I've always considered myself a good communicator, but it became pretty clear to me that my meetings were not going well. I wasn't getting what I wanted out of them. I was frustrated. I could tell that people who were in my meetings were frustrated. So I knew that something had to change. And so at that point in time, I made a goal to learn how to run a better meeting. And I think people are surprised sometimes by how I run meetings. I think especially people when I run a meeting in our community, I don't care what kind of meeting it is. It can be a booster club meeting in my community. It could be a meeting with the executives at my company. You know, it could be a professional development meeting with one of the associations. But I really feel strongly that they all deserve the same kind of thought and preparation. You're asking people to give of their time and their energy to attend these meetings, and they deserve something that's well run. So that's how I got interested in really understanding how to put together a good meeting.
Well, that makes sense. And I know that our world has changed so dramatically over the last few years. How do you think those changes have affected how we participate and run meetings?
I think the changes in the world have affected meetings enormously. You know, when I first started in the professional world, and again, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, that was 20 years ago, but all our meetings were in person, in a conference room, and there was a lot of paper. You know, now, and really, especially, of course, in the last, you know, 3 years, there are all kinds of acceptable formats for meetings, and there's lots of different tools that make presentations more interesting and informative. At this point in time, and again, I suspect maybe for a number of people who might listen to this podcast, I would say 80%, actually for me, it's even higher because I've worked from home since 2014. You know, 90% of the meetings I attend, at least for work, are virtual. I do every once in a while get to travel and attend something in person. And I think maybe for a lot of people, even if there's a few people in person, there still might be other people that are attending through Teams or through Zoom or something like that. So, you know, kind of a hybrid meeting. And then, of course, there are people that are still in the office that have the opportunity to meet together. But all of this is acceptable. I think there's been a shift from when so many people first started meeting virtually, they kind of had to do it and they weren't sure about it. They still preferred maybe in person. I think there's some of us now that have gotten to the point where I actually do, I don't know, prefer a virtual meeting. You know, they can run as well. There's tools. There's different things you can do to really make them just as productive as an in-person meeting. I think especially now, too, people are very aware of their time. People are aware of the need to be productive and how to make the best use of that time to get the most productivity. So, you know, meetings are a part of that, and they've made changes over the last few years that I really feel like are for the better.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Ellen. I think our meetings today are probably more focused and goal-oriented than perhaps they've been in the past. So your points are very well made. Why do you think running a good meeting is so important?
You know, time is precious, and so we don't want to waste it. And so if you're going to have a meeting, to your point, they do need to be focused. We'll hear in a minute about why a purpose for a meeting is so important. But we don't want to waste people's time. And then the other thing is meetings are connections for people. And it doesn't matter if they're virtual or in person. There's still a way for people to get to know each other, to understand what people are working on around the office, to come together to make decisions. So again, you want to have an environment that's conducive to that kind of work as well.
Absolutely. So how do you personally go about becoming better, Ellen?
For me, what I did was I worked with my boss, and actually improving my meeting skills became a strategic goal that year. We identified it when I did my performance review. And so, you know, wrote it down, and it was going to be something that I was answerable for. And so that really helped me stay focused. We do quarterly check-ins. So throughout the year, she would check in with me and talk about the progress. She would tell me things she had noticed from meetings I had held within that quarter, you know, things she still thought I could work on. And by the end of the year, I think we both felt that the goal was accomplished. Although, as with so many things, you know, there's always room for change and improvement. So throughout that year, when I started, I'm a reader actually by nature anyway, but, you know, I got on the internet, I read different articles, thought about different formats, thought about what I was comfortable with, you know, how it was interesting because I wouldn't call myself shy by any stretch of the imagination, but for some reason, I wasn't comfortable asserting myself and taking control during meetings and really owning it and being in charge. And so I read a lot about that and why that was important and what I could do. Podcasts, what we're doing today, there's several out there. Mamie Camphor Stewart, and hers are fairly short. The Modern Manager was really helpful. A couple other leadership podcasts and different things. Again, some of it wasn't necessarily new information, but I think it's still nice to hear other people say it. You know, I don't know if it kind of validates it, but you hear it from multiple sources and realize this is something I should try. When I mentioned reading, the one book that I read was called The Art of Gathering by Priya Parker. She's a meeting planner, actually more for really big in-person meeting events. And this was also, I think, about the time I was WICSEC president. And her book is probably not exactly your typical leadership book, but she really talks about how she goes through planning a meeting, thinking through all the things from who she's going to invite to the invitation to the content and all of the different things that you should consider with that. And you can apply what she talks about, whether it's an in-person, you know, big time meeting, you can still apply her concepts to your regular daily meetings. And I recommend that book to a lot of people. I come from a fairly large family. And at this point in my life, I do a lot of entertaining as well, holidays and things. I even found that her book helped me in my personal planning. And I am a parent. I'm about to be an empty nester, but I still have one in high school and, you know, I have one in college. And at the time that I read the book, I think everybody was still at home. And it helped me plan some of the meetings and things I did for them, you know, just to make sure that everything ran smoothly. So again, it's The Art of Gathering by Priya Parker. She has a website, she has a blog and social media presence. And her book really helped me a lot as well.
Well, thanks for that, Ellen. I will definitely add that to my reading list. It sounds like it was really impactful for you and continues to be. So that's a nice segue into our next question, which is, what should go into planning for meetings?
So there's actually a lot. And as we go through this, you know, you're probably thinking this is insane. You know, this is a very short meeting. I don't need much out of this. But what I have found is that even 30 to 40 minutes of preparation, maybe even 15 to 20, makes an entire world of difference in running an effective meeting. So preparation is absolutely key. And, you know, I guess there is a point where you over-prepare, but at least at that point in time, you know, you're ready for everything. And if your meeting ends up not taking as much or you didn't need it, it wasn't because you weren't ready for it. So the first thing that I do is when I'm considering having a meeting is ask myself, what is the purpose of this meeting? And when I say meeting too, do I really need to pull people together and have a meeting, whether it's virtual or in person, or is it something that I can take care of with an email or a phone call? I think in the era of quick communication, we kind of discount, you know, the use of a phone call. And by phone call, it could be a Skype call or whatever your work internal, you know, we use Teams at my work. But sometimes you can just take care of stuff by picking up the Teams really quick and having a conversation, and that takes care of it. So is it something I really need to set up as a meeting, or in the interest of time and efficiency, you know, can I take care of it in another way? So once I determine that, then why am I getting these people together? What is the outcome I want of this meeting? And this has really become such a critical meeting planning tool at my work that my big boss, anytime we get together, when he opens the call, he says, all right, what's the purpose? You know, why am I here? So I know I'm going to have to answer that question. And the other thing to remember is there's all kinds of acceptable purposes. You know, my guess is probably a lot of meetings that people are invited to, you need to make some kind of a decision or solve a problem. So that's one purpose. You know, we need to make a decision on a policy or a procedure. However, maybe your purpose is you need to get people together to brainstorm something. I do a lot of conference planning. And so we get together and, you know, we brainstorm the session. So that's, you need to get an opinion on something that's going on. You want some help with something. That's a perfectly acceptable purpose. It doesn't have to be, for lack of a better word, I guess, you know, serious and heavy all the time. But you still have to be able to tell people, you know, why you're getting them together and what outcome you need from them by the time that the meeting is over. So once you've got your purpose, then what I do is I go ahead and start my agenda. I cannot tell you how key it is, even if you don't need to finish it, and you probably don't want to, but just to pull up my agenda and I start crafting it at that point in time. That really helps you also think through, you know, how long is this meeting going to need to be? What are my attendees going to need to know so they can come prepared? I think through my content and what I need to develop, because if I'm presenting something, you know, do people need something to look at that I'm going to need to create? And so I can go ahead and do that. I think through what people's questions are going to be so I can have possible answers ready. You know, and at the same time, too, I'm thinking through my attendees. Who needs to be there? Who really needs to be there? And that's kind of an interesting question, too. I think there was a time that I had a meeting with an IT issue, for example. So I just invited all the IT people. Well, that they don't necessarily all really need to be there, and their time is valuable. So who do I really need to have on the call that needs to help me achieve the purpose so that you're not inviting people that don't really need to be there? You know, I always look at people's schedules and, you know, when I'm looking for the date and time and check availability. When I know this podcast is about planning a meeting, but just as a plug for being a good attendee, especially with internal meetings, make sure your work calendar is updated. If calendars are something you share in the course of work, make sure you've got your appointments and things updated. So when people are looking for times to meet with you, they can rely on the fact that your calendar is accurate. You know, again, materials, if there's something to help make the presentation more interesting, easier to understand, I always like to have something to look at on the screen. You know, and then if there's something I need to send out to people beforehand to give them a heads up, hey, this is why you're getting this meeting invitation. If I've got it ready, then I can attach the agenda, or if there's something that I need to have them read through before the meeting and come prepared to talk about it, you know, I do that. So that's kind of the basic and, you know, steps of actually planning the meeting itself and getting it set up and getting everybody ready to go and primed so that, you know, once everybody gets to that conference room or as soon as you notice that everybody's on the phone, you can kick off your meeting and be ready to go.
So you've outlined what we need to do to get ready, but what are your suggestions or tips for facilitating effective meetings?
So once you decide you're going to have a meeting, the one thing you need to understand is that you are in charge. Own it. You know, you have asked people to take time out of their schedule. So make sure that when you invite them to the meeting, you know, you're ready to run it. And again, that really happens the minute that you, you know, start your call, that you walk into your conference room. So really the first thing I'm going to say is that in doing all this, remember the purpose of your meeting, and you're going to make sure that meeting keeps moving so that you're achieving that purpose. So when I'm facilitating a meeting, the first thing I do is I make sure I get there early. I am one of those people. I would rather be at the airport an hour and a half early than be running through security, you know, and trying to get on the plane. And I apply that principle, you know, really to almost everything. Arrival times. My kids laugh. I think it's a family trait because when my parents tell the kids they're going to pick them up at 1:30, the kids know grandma and grandpa will be there at 1:15. So get to your party early. If you're going to be in a conference room, you know, walk down early. Make sure that you've got your, if you're showing stuff on a screen, you know, you've got it pulled up and ready to go. If you've got handouts or something to hand out, you've got copies, you've got things printed out. If it's a virtual meeting, log on a few minutes early. That way people aren't waiting, or if they need to wait, that's fine. But again, you can make sure that your audio is set, that you can make sure your screen is showing, those types of things. And then as people show up, you can let them into the room or greet them as they come in. So I think that's the, you know, one of the key things to starting a meeting correctly. Then throughout the meeting, it's really important to listen. You know, you're running the meeting and you're asking questions and providing information, but still make sure as people respond or are making suggestions and are absorbing things that you're listening. And then if you need to, that you're asking follow-up questions. Just so that's the one kind of thing about a virtual meeting. And some people are comfortable on camera, you know, some people aren't. And so it's a little bit harder to read the room, I think, sometimes in a virtual meeting. So make sure that if there's something as a facilitator, you know, again, thinking back to your purpose that you're not clear about, that you're asking follow-up questions. One thing that's really critical is making sure that everyone can contribute. And again, that's a part, I think, of owning your meeting. And, you know, there's a couple of ways that you can do that, especially if you're in a group of people who maybe don't know each other that well. One of my tricks, and I learned this actually from a colleague, is to take roll. You know, at first I thought that was kind of silly and we know everybody and why are we doing that? But my colleague made the point that if you actually take roll, that actually gives everyone a chance to speak. And, you know, one way more than yes, I'm here, nor I'm not, is maybe to have a question, a silly question. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream? Or, you know, what's your favorite color? It could be a lot of things. But it, especially I think on virtual calls, again, maybe with people that don't know each other really well, at least gives everybody a chance to unmute, you know, to say something. And then hopefully that will help them feel a little bit more comfortable contributing to the conversation. You know, throughout the meeting, I mentioned this just a few seconds ago, but, you know, kind of reading the room, it is really hard on virtual calls, but it's not impossible. So to just kind of try to keep your thumb on the pulse of the room, you know, are people engaged? Have they, you know, timed out, for lack of a better word? Do you need to take a break? You know, do you need to redirect? And just kind of knowing, you know, are people wanting to say something but aren't getting a chance? So, you know, kind of keeping a, you know, your eye on those kind of things. And then one of, I think, the most important things for facilitating an effective meeting is to know when to end. You know, again, tying back to your purpose, have you achieved your purpose and tie, wrapping the meeting up? You know, one of the things, again, sometimes when I'm in a meeting with my big boss, I'll have prepared, you know, all kinds of materials. I'll be all kinds of ready to launch into my explanation and why I want something. He'll say, why are we here? I give him a short explanation. He says, okay, you're good. I'm fine with that. And at that point in time, I need to stop the meeting and give everybody a few minutes of their time back because he's made a decision. He doesn't need any more information. I don't need to convince him anymore, and we're good. So I think a key component to running an effective meeting is to know when to stop.
Well, thanks, Ellen. That really helps to identify what we should look for when we facilitate meetings. So how do you manage group dynamics in a meeting setting?
That is a great question, Pat, and I don't have probably an easy answer to that. If you know the people who you've invited well, you know, be aware of the personalities who are coming to the meeting. That helps you prepare a little bit when you're preparing your content, when you're thinking about how you want to engage people in the meeting. If you don't know them, again, that makes things a little more difficult. But I think one easy thing to do is, first of all, to level your playing field. And when you call roll, give everybody a chance to talk. And that at least hopefully will make people feel comfortable speaking up. And at least give everyone that initial chance to say something. So then when you do ask a question or invite people to participate in some way, they might be a little bit more comfortable. As the meeting continues, you might need to make some adjustments. You know, one example of that might be, instead of waiting for people to respond to your questions, maybe set up a round robin where you pose a question and then really just go around your circle. And again, give everybody a chance to speak so that maybe one person isn't dominating the conversation and everybody's getting their ideas there out on the floor. If you need to, do not be afraid to interrupt. It is uncomfortable. It always feels a little weird. I think that is one thing that's really hard with virtual calls. Sometimes I find myself actually accidentally interrupting someone. I didn't realize they weren't finished talking. But if you do have someone who is dominating a conversation, don't be afraid to interrupt. You can do it very politely. You can bring them back to wrapping up their whatever it is they had to say and moving on to someone else. So I think the biggest thing about managing group dynamics is the listening and the observing and not being afraid to make an adjustment if you need to.
So you've touched on this a little bit, Alan, but as you're interacting with people with different personalities, how do you ensure that you're inclusive so everyone's voice has an opportunity to be heard during the meeting?
Pat, I think that is so important. And again, I talked about a couple of ways you can just do it right off the bat. You know, taking roll, again, I think I might have mentioned this earlier. I used to think this is so silly. You know, why are we actually taking roll? We all see each other. And then someone reminded me that that's a great way to off the bat let people talk and hear everyone's voice. That round robin format that I just mentioned, maybe pose a question and actually have everybody answer that question or give their opinion. Yeah, you can go old school and actually call on people who aren't talking and invite them to give their opinion. Again, that listening is so important. On virtual calls, one great way to make sure everyone's getting to participate, and virtual calls might be a little harder, people might not be as comfortable speaking up, but is to use some of the online possibilities like Menti or Polls Everywhere. I'm going to talk about Menti because it's the one I'm most familiar with. You can actually take polls so people can answer polls. There are opportunities to ask open-ended questions so people can put information in and it comes up on the screen in a chat bubble. That's something I do pretty often. Then when the presentation or the meeting is over, you can actually export the answers to the questions into a PDF document and send it to your meeting attendees. So a great way of keeping track of what's going on in the meeting. But maybe people aren't comfortable, you know, coming off mute. That Menti gives them a chance to interact, put their 2 cents worth in, and you can then, you know, see what's coming on your screen and make comments off that. So I'm going to go back to this for probably the 42nd time, but just observing, listening, being aware, and, you know, as again, it's that strong hand. You're in charge of this meeting. You've called it, you've invited people, own it, and make sure that your guests are comfortable and that they're getting a chance to say what they need to say.
It sounds like Menti is a great tool. So I'm sure that will be of benefit to our listeners who weren't aware of it previously. So thank you for that, Alan. So what drives you crazy about meetings?
I have a couple of pet peeves. The biggest one is meetings without an agenda. Now, this doesn't happen maybe professionally as much anymore, but I still do attend some community meetings and they don't have an agenda and I don't know why I'm there. And then the meetings are disorganized and it really makes me insane. In fact, I've joked that maybe my retirement job will be helping coaches plan their parent meetings a little bit. There are some that are great, but there are some that it's a pretty painful experience. And really, again, I think that goes back to respecting people's time, you know, getting stuff done and being efficient. The other thing that really drives me nuts is meetings that go on too long. I think that we all schedule meetings for an hour, kind of just as a default. That's a good amount of time. But I think there actually is an art to really figuring out how long a meeting should be. And that kind of goes back to that planning period, to preparation, to getting your agenda ready. You know, there is a point in time that people stop paying attention. You know, your message gets lost, their mind wanders. And so we did an exercise in my team a couple of years ago, and we made a commitment that our meetings would be 30 minutes long. You know, there are some that are sometimes 45. If you wanted an hour meeting, you actually had to justify it. And I think we have found that we have been more productive. We've gotten better answers to our questions. People are engaged more when we really have those 30-minute meetings. And so I think, again, just in that preparation, taking time to think about, again, your purpose, you know, how long is it really going to take me to achieve the purpose of this meeting? And what does that look like? I think that that's really important and a really thing that you can do for the people who are attending your meetings. Give them an agenda and be aware of their time.
Yeah, for sure. As a meeting attendee, as well as a meeting planner, I like to keep both of those in mind because I know if something goes on too long, I tend to drift. So the focus is important. I'm sure this has never happened to you, but I may have attended a few meetings in my career that have gone kind of off the rails. So what's your experience been trying to get those kinds of discussions back on track?
So that is a huge challenge. But again, I think I just said it a few seconds ago, but if you called this meeting and you invited these people, that is your job. And it's one of those situations where you often have to think fast, you know, and make a quick decision, interrupt someone, you know, and then try to refocus your conversation. This is one of those situations where once the meeting is over, you know, I go back and look and what happened and why did this happen and what could I have done maybe to prevent it? But when it did happen, how did I respond and what can I learn from that? And I always inevitably, you know, come to the conclusion I could have done something better, smoother, you know, but you're reacting in time to a situation, you know, that sometimes can be pretty uncomfortable. So, you know, you do the best you can. Make a quick decision, interrupt somebody, stop a conversation, you know, bring them back, really bring them back around to that purpose, you know, because if it's gone off track, then you veered away from what is the purpose of this meeting. Although I will say sometimes when meetings go off track, good things can happen, or you recognize, oh, we need to talk about that, but maybe at a later date, or this is a part of this that I hadn't quite thought through. I do want to come back to that, but for right now, we need to focus on this purpose. So sometimes, you know, off the rails isn't a bad thing, but still remember why you're there, what your purpose is, and move the conversation back to accomplishing that purpose.
So do you have a favorite kind of meeting?
I love a good brainstorm and problem solving. If you guys follow my LinkedIn profile, you'll see, I think I actually have that in my description. I think it is so much fun to put together, you know, the right group of people. You have high energy. You're excited about something. I do a lot of conference work and session picking and going through those ideas and coming through them and combining and talking about what we can do. Just anything that you bring a group of people in and have a conversation about. And the other thing I want to say is you can do those virtually or in person. I know when we first shifted, you know, primarily to virtual meetings, I was a little worried that some of that energy might get lost in those conversations. But again, those great tools, Menti, you know, your whiteboards and things, they really can make them fun and allow for a lot of creative thinking. I've done icebreakers virtually to get people in the right space, you know, to do brainstorming, all kinds of different things that you can still have this open, creative exchange of ideas. That's a brainstorm. I really love them.
So any final thoughts?
As a final thought, just go out and have meetings. Hold them, facilitate them. Do not be afraid to try new things. I have had meetings where I let my attendees know up front that I'm going to try something out on them. You know, some of these free programs or different whiteboards, mind mapping. I've done all kinds of crazy stuff over the years. But, you know, right group of people, but I've experimented and then been able to use that tool at a different meeting to make sure it was effective. If something happens during a meeting, it's fine. You know, and it's going to be just fine. You can handle it. You can bring it back around, learn from what happened and apply it to the next time you're in that situation. It's growth, it's development. As many as I've done, I'm still always learning as well. So don't be afraid to facilitate meetings. Don't be afraid as a professional development goal to set that for yourself to hold better meetings. And you'll find that after a period of time, you do enjoy them. You enjoy being with people and you're having them for the right reasons and you're getting things accomplished.
Well, thank you so much, Ellen. These are great tips and suggestions that I think will help all of us create an environment where projects are moved forward, everyone's contributions are heard and valued, and meetings are considered a good use of time. On behalf of NCIA On Location, I'd like to thank Ellen for sharing her information with us today. Again, I'm your host, Pat O'Donnell of Young Williams. Thank you so much for listening.
Well, thanks very much to Ellen for joining us on the show today, and thanks to Pat for hosting. And of course, a special thank you to Tim Leitner for all the work he's done editing and preparing the episode for broadcast. On Location is available on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts. We have a lot of great episodes on the way, so be sure to subscribe and check out our previous work as well. We also appreciate your ratings, feedback, comments, and suggestions. If you have an idea for a topic or would like to be a guest on the show, please reach out to us using the contact link on our website. On Location is a production of the NCIA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Tim Leitner and me. Thanks for joining me. I'm Joe Mamlin, and this has been On Location.